This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're tuned in to a special podcast where we'll recap what happened in 2019 in the startup sector. With me, I have Sunny Sen, National Corporate Editor, Startups, Tech and New Economy, a Network 18 group. Hi and welcome to the show, Sunny.
Thanks a lot, Jerome. It's lovely to sit with you and talk about things that I perhaps don't know enough about.
Absolutely. I'm quite sure you'd give all our listeners quite a bit here. So let's begin with 2019. How was it as far as startups are concerned?
I think let's do away with the numbers first. I think that's a great starting point because it puts the entire industry into perspective, right?
Right.
And these numbers are for the first three quarters of 2019. The last quarter, which is the October, November, December quarter, those numbers are yet to be out. But till what happened till September 2019, I have those numbers in front of me.
Right.
So 1,300 new startups were added to the entire startup ecosystem this year.
Okay.
So that's a fascinating number. That's not a small number at all.
Right.
The total number of tech startups in the country is now close to 10,000, you know,
okay.
So which makes India the third largest startup country in the world after US and Israel.
Okay.
So India is the third largest, China follows. So India is also seen about 8 new unicorn additions. So unicorns are companies which are valued at more than $1 billion, and 8 new, the total tally is at 25 now.
Yeah.
And if you look at the way the jobs have come up in the startup industry, 60,000 direct jobs were created this year.
Okay.
60,000. At a time when the job market doesn't look so good. So that's the direct jobs. The indirect jobs are 1.3 lakh to 1.8 lakh. That's the broad benchmark there that's being set. So these are all according to NASSCOM's startup report. If you look at investments, there were $4.4 billion of investments which went into startups between January and September,
okay.
Which is 5% more than what it was the previous year.
Okay.
That's good news.
Great.
Also, if you look at early stage investments, and that's growing at about some 50 to 60, 70 odd percent.
Mm-hmm.
So Series A and Series B, $1.6 billion of investments in early stage startups.
Mm-hmm.
That's also great because angel investments, seed investment and early stage investment has been a problem which has plagued the startups for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We see India coming out of that problem slowly but steadily.
Okay.
The trend that we also witnessed was new areas, payments, especially fintech.
Right.
We see areas of B2B SaaS companies,
mm-hmm.
companies which have come out of that space. They're fascinating companies, three unicorns in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So over 18% of startups, which are, a lot of them are bootstrapped, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but they are using deep tech, things like artificial intelligence, deep learning, little bit of quantum computing, little bit of edge computing.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are coming into the startup space.
Okay.
Earlier, the number was very less. Only some 8% of startups were doing that. Now, the number is a lot more. It's 18%, 1,600 of the total startups that are there in the country are using deep tech today. Bunch of interesting things happened. At a time when they said that the listing window, a startup going to the bourses, that window is shut down.
Mm-hmm.
IndiaMART went and did an IPO after 23 years of its inception, right? That made everybody talking about IPOs.
Mm-hmm.
Every company you talk to in the startup space, if they are not ready, but they're at least talking about an IPO. And that's not funny, you know, because not everybody will be able to go for an IPO.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at least good that they are talking, because that's a sense that's coming into the startup industry. Because that's an eventual way of giving venture capital companies exits. But there's a flip side to that, Jerome. You know, people start talking about IPO, it gets attention. Sometimes they use it as a marketing gimmick, which is, and sometimes that helps them raise valuation. That's not a good thing.
Exactly.
So there has to be some caution there.
Right.
That's how I look at the broad startup space functioning right now.
Two things you mentioned there, Sunny. You said 4.4 billion has come into startups. My question here would be, are these foreign investors? And secondly, these unicorns that we are talking about, three of which are from the fintech space,
B2B space.
What's the space here now? What are these unicorns? And, you know, even when they get funding, how have they managed to grow, basically?
So the three unicorns that I'm talking about is Freshworks, Dhruva, and iCertis.
Right.
Freshworks was valued at $3.5 billion. Dhruva and iCertis both are valued at more than $1 billion. So the question is, why are they being valued at such a high numbers, right? The numbers, the valuations are so high. So two things. One, they always raised little capital because they didn't have to do deep discounting like a Flipkart did or like an Amazon did or a Snapdeal did.
Right.
So the B2C companies thrived on how much discount or cashbacks or incentives you're giving to the consumer. That was perhaps the only attraction that was there. But these companies are software as a services companies. What they deliver to large conglomerates, Fortune 500 companies, BSE 100 companies, these are great value. These are technology that they are giving to them. These are products, technology products that they are giving to them. It's like what Salesforce did about more than a decade ago, right? Salesforce became this really valued company, and it continues to be profitable. It continues to grow. So if you look at Freshworks, it competes directly with Salesforce, and these companies are not deep discounting. The companies are built on value. Their companies are built on the products they are because the competition there is very different. The competition there is, you know, what I get from the startup and how does that scale my business as a client, and based on that I retain the startup as my client, right? Otherwise, why do I need you? There are multiple companies. So it's not deep discounting. It's not the price game. You play the price game, you lose eventually, because the price game what depends on how much money you have in your bank.
Okay.
And that's limited because you have large companies like Walmart and Amazon fighting that game as well.
Right. All right, quite interesting. So we were talking about investors. And now, are domestic players investing in startups in India, or is it the foreign investors that are investing?
Do you want me to make you sad?
No, actually, we are talking about a rosy picture here.
I'll be a little honest here. Indian companies are yet not so open about investment into startups.
Okay.
Having said that, the number of companies from the old economy, like the Mahindra Group, like Reliance, like Marico, like, you know, Hero, Motocorp. So these are companies which have started making investments in startups.
Okay.
So if you look at Aether, which is an electric vehicle scooter company and a startup, Hero was one of its first backers. And it continues to back Aether. And that's there. So, and there are also family offices. So Wipro has its own family office. Marico has its own family office. Escorts has its own family office. These are all listed large companies which have been there for decades in this country, right? So they have family offices, and these family offices are investing into startups. That's happening. That's a new trend. So the family offices versus the venture capital companies.
Right.
That's an interesting thing that is playing out. We will see more of that in 2020.
Okay.
But right now the number is quite small, but it's growing. You also see a large number of multinationals who are part of the Fortune 500 list. They are investing into startups in India. Visa is one of them. Airbus is the other one that we can talk about. Walmart has made this huge investment in India in way of Flipkart. Flipkart is a Walmart-owned company. We never thought somebody would invest $16-17 billion in a domestic company, right? But that's happening. So large investors, large listed companies investing into startups, family funds investing into startups, that's happening. The number is low. Still, out of the $4.4 billion, more than two-thirds of that investment, or more than three-fourths of the investment, would be from companies outside the country, venture capital companies, which are large and global in nature.
Okay. Again, quite interesting. You mentioned the Walmart Flipkart deal. That was 2017? 2018, right? So that was the highlight for the startup industry in 2018. What would you say the highlight is for the startup industry in 2019?
So we haven't seen a deal of that size in 2019. But one thing which really happened in 2019 was the big shakeup. So it was, there was no deal, but there was a big shakeup. The shakeup happened in the global startup space. The WeWork valuation fiasco, where Masayoshi Son went on records and said that it was wrong judgment on his part, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a big thing. It brings into light so many nuanced things that the startup industry overlooked, never mm-hmm. figured, never thought about. It was more of a cultural issue, and then these big events start flowing, right? So if you try to dissect that, what happened, so there was a bunch of things. So while there was this WeWork fiasco, mm-hmm. valuations came under scanner. People
right.
became cautious about the valuation.
Right.
What that did was that brought about funding crunch. That 5% increase that we talked about earlier, that would have perhaps been much higher if the WeWork fiasco had not happened.
Right.
So the moment the valuation thing came into picture, people started talking about good governance and bad governance.
Mm-hmm.
People started talking about the bro culture. Is it good for startups or is it not good for startups?
Mm-hmm.
Sundar Pichai went on record and said that they will stop the town hall because the company culturally is not in that space where they could do town halls all every Friday and address to a much larger market, because it wasn't so relevant anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you put all these together, the startup industry world over, and India too, because India is the third largest startup economy, so India too, it is going through this huge cultural shift.
Mm-hmm.
And we are at a different level of maturity, if I might say so, where things like the board is becoming a lot more powerful than a founder-driven company or a founder-run company, while the founder or the CEO of the company still runs the company, but they are more accountable to the board.
Mm-hmm.
Oyo is strengthening its board.
Right.
Aditya Ghosh was the CEO of Oyo and he's moved up to the board level, and
right.
that is because the board has to be much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a SoftBank-backed company, and SoftBank doesn't want too many of such fiascos happening. Uber, Slack, WeWork,
right.
you know, all global large companies, and
right.
the ripple effect will be there in India.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so to sum it up, can I say that startups will ultimately go the corporate way?
They will have to,
okay.
if not completely. At least from a governance standpoint,
mm-hmm.
at least from a cultural standpoint, where you do not sacrifice innovation, where you do not sacrifice invention, where you do not sacrifice building great products.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with bro culture.
True.
You know,
true,
you
true.
Sit in the office,
mm-hmm.
keep your legs on the table, keep slanging,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's how does that help in innovation, you know?
Yeah.
That those are distractions.
Exactly.
Those
okay.
are distractions. So
okay.
that's not necessary.
Okay. All right, so you did mention governance issues. Is that something holding back domestic investors to venture out with startups, or is that still a cause of concern for the startup industry in India?
So, Jerome, you remember there was this company called Housing.com?
Yes.
Rahul Yadav used to run that company.
Right, right.
And he was this crazy guy out there who
mm-hmm.
was who didn't listen to investors, who didn't listen to the board.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he was ousted from the company.
Yes.
If you and I, we don't have the money to invest into startups, but if you and I ever invest in a startup,
mm-hmm.
will we want a good company, or will we want a company where founders are uncontrollable and they do what they think is right, whether it's good for the company or not?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we would want a good company.
Right.
Good company where good people work, which
mm-hmm.
have good people to report to and which have good people to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a problem that startups have been facing for a long time. And I see that changing, if
mm-hmm.
it even if it's in bits and pieces, but that is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to change, because if people, and we are talking about large conglomerates in India, large conglomerates globally, listed companies whose balance sheets are get affected because of the investments that they made in startups,
mm-hmm.
their balance sheets get affected because
mm-hmm.
of the investments that they make in startups. So without good governance, it would be very difficult for them to make their mind as to which startup they should invest in. So at the due diligence phase,
mm-hmm.
they are also looking at governance. They are also looking who is there on the board of the startup.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that will define good investments, bigger investments, more investments in startups in 2020.
Absolutely, absolutely, Sunny. Okay, now let's go to 2020.
Okay.
What does 2020 hold for startups? And should the government come up with more regulations to have a better hold over startups?
2020 will be a defining year for many startups, as it will be for many large companies.
Right, right.
For the first time, we will see extreme regulations coming in.
Okay.
By extreme regulations, I don't mean that it will curb innovation completely,
mm-hmm.
but it will cover a large number of startups, be it the Amazons and the Facebooks of the world, be it the Ubers and the Olas of the world, what people can do with data because of the data protection bill, which has got a cabinet nod and will be in the pre-budget session.
Right.
So that's there. So the government is talking about how to use data to make lives of younger startups better, because more data means better innovation. So we'll have to see how that pans out, but that's there. Then there is then the regulations on how much surge pricing you can have, how much profitability you can have in the cab business. That's something that people are looking at, looking out. Discounting will be monitored and regulated. So e-commerce companies are going through this big shift. Where you can store data, how you can process that data at a personal level, at a non-personal level, all that is also coming, are being framed right now. So you'll see a full stack of regulations in India and that will come out. I don't know if it's good or bad because that is somewhere a little restrictive because a lot of global startups looked at India because it was a free internet country, unlike China, which is a deeply regulated country.
Right.
And only Chinese companies burgeoned and grew and became famous and eventually started capturing the world. While India was a free country where people could innovate, build, become large companies, irrespective of whether you're from China or from the US or from India, right? So that was there. I see a little bit of stretch in too much regulation and it might curb innovation at a certain level, but 2020 will be that defining year of how much regulation is good regulation.
Okay. Sunny, one last question. You mentioned that funding's increased by 5% from Jan to September 2019 as compared to 2018. What do we see in 2020?
So I see that better companies will get better funding or more funding.
Okay.
There will be a lot of pressure on governance and that will define how much funding you get.
Okay.
People will also spend a lot of time sitting with founders and they will talk about if something goes wrong, how do you handle it? So those things will also define a lot of funding, but overall funding will be better. It is not that funding will go down, it will be funding will be better because there will be a lot of acquisitions coming up this year because there are a lot of unicorns. They will look at a lot of consolidation in the market.
Right.
If you already see that Flipkart has made strategic investments in Ninjakart this week, there was another company which was Easy Rewards in which Flipkart made an investment. So these are all strategic investments, right? So strategic investments eventually end up becoming acquisitions. So that's interesting. So you will see a lot of consolidation. A lot of consolidation means a lot of more money flowing into the system.
Right.
So those, that will happen. You also see a lot of these companies who are talking about IPO, they're becoming IPO ready. So before the IPO, there's this pre-IPO funding that will happen, which will set the real valuation and expectation of companies when they go listed. So that will also come in a lot this year. So a lot of companies will go into IPO end of 2020, 2021, at least ready with the due diligence, bankers, lawyers, all of them, that entire framework will be put in place.
Okay.
So before that, the pre-IPO funding starts coming in. We have already heard that Ola is looking at raising this pre-IPO fund. Paytm raised this $1 billion last year. They're in the process of raising another $1 billion. The moment Paytm raises $1 billion in 2020, it is a huge booster, total amount of money raised. So these are the factors which will drive funding in the coming year. Also, the family offices that we spoke about earlier, they will be more active because they would like to get, they would like to grab a pie of the successes that will be 4-5 years down the line.
Right.
So that's also there.
Cool. Sunny, thank you so much for all these updates.
Thank you, Jerome. It was lovely chatting up with you.
And now a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
With that, we wrap this a special episode on recapping 2019 as far as the startup space is concerned. In case you have any query or in case you have any suggestion, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.